Welcome to Beyond the Band. We're here today, unfortunately, not to talk about music, really. We're here today because my brother in music, Chris, and I are SoCal natives and both huge Laker fans. And Chris was on the first episode of this podcast, and I think we're just really trying to figure out ways to channel our grief.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you had the idea, and I thought it was great to get together and record a podcast in remembrance of Kobe, who unfortunately passed away this Sunday along with his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, and seven others, including members of her team and coaches. Mm. In the pilot, just an unspeakable tragedy. And even today, and I think for a long time in the future.
Yeah, I don't think this is wearing off anytime soon.
No. It's going to be one of those things that will never probably go away, that we're always going to think about, because Kobe is just one of those people. I just never imagined a world in which he wouldn't be here, just because it's people like that, they almost become superhuman, and so it's just shocking, just crazy. And I'm looking forward to talking about some of the good things that we remember, and for this outlet to just sort of channel our grief however we can in this mourning process that we're in.
Well, that was when I text you on Sunday, I'm like, hey, we should do a podcast. And then a second later, I'm like, well, this is really self-indulgent, but it's kind of part, I think it's part of the healing process.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we could be so emotionally attached to this guy that we never met.
Right.
He played basketball. Mm-hmm. He's retired from basketball, So it's just, I kind of wanted to explore.
Yeah.
Part of it is, why am I so attached to this man?
Right.
I thought it'd be a good way to discover.
Yeah.
Why do I have so much grief?
Yeah.
So, and we've already talked about it being therapeutic.
Right.
You got to talk about things.
I've had the same thought this week, of going back and forth between just grief and sadness, the kind of grief and sadness you feel when a loved one passes away.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And and then I have these moments where I'm like, why am I feeling that way about someone I never met?
You know?
But why is anybody?
Yeah.
Because there are millions, tens of millions of people around the world who are probably feeling the same way. And, and it's interesting because, I have family who lives in Orange County.
Yeah.
Where he lived in Newport Beach. I have family near there.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle works for an Orange County city,
mm-hmm,
where a lot of employees, either knew Kobe or knew some of the other families that were on the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know that until after this happened and he was telling me, but that just brings it close to home.
Sure.
It's like, this was a guy who was not just this famous basketball player, but he was a father. He, mm-hmm, was a member of his community.
Yeah.
He went to church Sunday morning, before he got on the helicopter.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. No. He went to, he's devout Catholic. He went to his church at like 7, which that's another thing about him. I'm not sure he ever slept.
Yeah.
I mean, he just had, just a crazy
unbelievable drive.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so we could definitely dive into that, but let's start with, because I think this will be important. How did you hear about it? How did you get the news on Sunday?
So you've been part of this football trash talking group that page I was on, and you're not on it anymore.
No, I had to quit.
So really that group, that page has given me a new meaning to my life. I'm apparently an internet troll. I'm a terrible human being. So I'm on this page and I'm watching the Pro Bowl, and then somebody mentions on the page, they say, "Rip Kobe." I know of one Kobe in the world.
Yep.
So, you know, I go to Google, and TMZ, of all the vile, you know, sources that this could come from. So TMZ is reporting, and then, you know, it's just, it is all over the place on Google. So I'm watching the Pro Bowl on ESPN, and there's no ticker tape. This is something that you'd think was important enough to break in. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen that happen on many sporting events. Right. They break up and they break in and give news.
Right.
So I'm still at this point very confused, and maybe it's his helicopter, but he wasn't on it. So that was my initial discovery point from this.
Did you think it was a hoax at first?
I wasn't sure because of TMZ. And I know they get a lot of scoops, I believe. A lot of it's pop culture related. So I really wasn't 100% sure, because I thought, man, if anything is going to be talking about it, it's going to be ESPN.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening. But it was all over Google, you know, as far as the eye could see.
So you got it and then you Googled it.
I did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just TMZ still at that point, right?
Yeah. It was really, really quick. And then, of course, it was on Facebook very fast. And I ended up... You know, I really couldn't believe it. I got up, I went to go tell Athena. I wanted to tell Athena because she became a Laker fan by being with me. She wasn't a Laker fan originally when we got together, but over the years, she grew to love the team. So I wanted to tell her, and then, you know, I just went up and I said, "Hey, Kobe died." And she asked me to repeat myself, and I couldn't get through it.
Oh my God.
You know, so she just hugged me. And I started, you know, crying on her shoulder and all that. Yeah. But that was my initial reaction. I think I ended up texting you.
I found out from you.
How did the rest of your day work out? What did that look like for you after you got my text?
You know, you text me, and this is interesting because you said, "Kobe Bryant, man, broken hearted." And I'm thinking, and this is a morning where I hadn't turned on the TV. Uh-huh. I hadn't really even been looking. I was just, I made breakfast for the girls. I just, I had just been enjoying a rare morning away from TV and my phone.
Yeah,
not on purpose, just the way the morning shook out. And so, so you sent me that text, "Kobe Bryant, man, broken hearted," and I thought it had something to do with the fact that LeBron
passed him
in points the freaking night before this happens. And so I'm thinking, I know, and we'll talk about LeBron. I know how you feel about him, you know, or how you felt about LeBron. And so I'm thinking, man, Chris is really torn up about Kobe being passed in all time points, you know. And then right as you sent that text and I sent that back to you, and then it hit me a couple minutes later. I'm like, oh, okay, no, this is bad. So then I Googled it and then I responded to you. I think it was a O and a four letter word. I told you that I Googled it. And then my brother called me. And I thought he was calling to talk about this. Like, I thought he had found out too.
Sure.
But he had not. He was on the phone with my sister and they were calling me. I mean, I love my bro and sis, and he literally forgot one of the words to happy birthday. And that's why he was calling me.
Luke.
To ask me.
Very disappointed.
It was like the worst possible time for this. Oh my goodness, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, I talked to them for a little bit because I'm like, I need the distraction. And I think still in the back of my head, I thought maybe it's still, I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was still thinking, because it was at that point just TMZ, I was like, maybe this is just a mistake.
Yeah.
Or a hoax, you know? And so eventually I'm like, hey guys, I was Googling as I was talking to them, and then you started seeing the news come through from more reputable sources.
Eventually that happened.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, hey guys, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I mean, obviously devastating, you know, at that point. And then I hear rumors about his whole family being on.
Yeah. Because it goes from the crash, the helicopter.
Yeah.
And now there's five people.
Right.
And
right.
Now maybe it's all of his daughters.
Right.
Is mm-hmm. the, and then you're just going,
yeah,
you can't be real. This yeah. can't get worse.
No.
And then it does.
And then it does. Yeah. So then I heard that rumor, and then they retracted it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe, I mean, it sounds weird, but I'm hoping to God that it's, you know, not anybody else in his family.
Sure.
And,
right.
I was really upset and devastated. But then when the confirmation came through that his daughter was on the helicopter,
mm-hmm.
As a, you know, you don't even have to be a father. You know, I don't want to play that card
right.
as a father. I mean, you don't even have to be a father for that to just hit you.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough. And that's when the day got really, as if it could get any worse, mm-hmm. it got 100 times worse at that yeah. point. And then to find out that, no, it's not just five, which
it's nine.
Nine people. Seriously. Mm-hmm. It's just like it just kept getting worse and worse mm-hmm. and worse. Yeah, I had family members calling me. I mean, it was like a family member passed away.
Yeah. I had a lot of friends and family
yeah.
reach out to me as well. And, you know, just, yeah, it's just like, hey, your uncle passed away. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? Are you okay?
Right.
It really was a thing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. And then you start, and then I did the thing, I don't know if you did this, where I was like cycling through all the news stations,
mm-hmm.
Because I think still a part of you is just can't believe this is real. And that probably didn't help, you know,
I was thinking that. So here's the thing. Yeah. I, from the moment I learned
yeah.
till I went to sleep at 11 or 12 at night,
yeah.
I never stopped watching the news. I never stopped looking on the internet.
Right.
And at some point I told myself, you know, because I'm just emotional, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm bawling.
Right.
And then I'm okay. And yeah. then I'm bawling.
Yep.
And I'm like, why are you watching this?
Because
mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I'm almost doing it to myself.
Right.
Right. And then you see all the other, his teammates, and you mm-hmm. see the reactions from other people that loved him.
Yeah.
And then now I'm crying and bawling again.
Yeah.
You know, so,
mm-hmm.
but no, I couldn't stop watching the news.
Yeah. And I think part of that is just, it's because we don't want to believe that it's true.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we need that, you know, I don't know. And so it's interesting because my mom called me a couple yeah. hours later, and I was telling her about my feelings of feeling terrible, feeling like one of my own family members died, but then questioning why,
yep.
you know, and kind of being hard on myself of why I felt that way.
Yeah.
And she said something I thought that was really, this is why we talk to our moms, right? she said, you know, when someone that is a part of our lives in that way for mm-hmm. so long, we associate that person with memories, right?
Mm.
And she's right, because I mean, we're a little bit, you're like my big brother, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
we're that distance apart in age to where mm-hmm. I was nine when he came into the league.
Yeah.
You know? And but that's right at the age when you're choosing you're choosing alliances, right? And mm-hmm. I was growing up in SoCal, so
it was obvious.
It wasn't a yeah. choice. I was a Laker fan, Dodger fan, you know, all that stuff. And so you know, here I am, nine when he comes into the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking about, you know, the late 90s and sort of that, you know, Shaq comes to the team and they make the playoffs, but they, you know, don't get very far.
Yeah,
they airball.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I think about the first that first championship mm-hmm. and that just magical run of ups and downs, mm-hmm. you know, game seven against Portland. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that series.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, a freshman, I think, when that.
So you became a fan at about nine.
Yeah.
So it's right away.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I was a Laker fan before, but I just, when you're 7, 8, I mean, you're not really watching
sports.
You're
not invested, legitimately invested.
When he came in, that's when I really started paying attention.
Okay.
And so, like, watching games and rooting for them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, so she's right. You know, it's the memories of all the championships mm-hmm. and the bad times and, you know, and then more championships and then more bad times and then his, you know, his last game and we'll talk about, you know, some of these specific moments, but she's right, because I was associating those memories with what was going on in my life at the time and who my friends were, mm-hmm. and, you know,
it's as important of a memory
right.
as any other good memories you had.
Right. Yeah exactly. And so I think that really helped me, because, you know, like any good mom does, she was helping me to not feel stupid about feeling so sad.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But what about you? When did you first become a fan?
So I was actually a Shaquille O'Neal fan.
Okay.
So we're going to go back to 92, 93, mm-hmm. early mm-hmm. 90s. And I didn't really follow basketball, but I don't know what happened. I started following Shaq. Mm. Now, so I'm older than you.
Yes, a little
about
bit.
About 15, 15 years. So back in the day, in the 90s, if you wanted to follow, you had to read the newspaper.
Yes.
You had to watch the games. Right. Or, I don't know if you remember, but you had to watch George Michael's Sports Machine on Sunday night.
I don't remember Sports Machine. Okay. I remember like Ahmad Rashad and like NBC. He had like a basketball show.
George Michael, right, obviously. Right. But so you'd wait till Sunday, and this guy had an ESPN Sports Center type thing on Sunday nights, and he'd recap the week in sports.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, but I liked Shaq, and then they were great. The Orlando Magic, I think they went to the finals within a few years of becoming a franchise.
Yep.
You had Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
You had Horace Grant that came over from the Bulls. You had Shaquille O'Neal. They went to the finals and got swept by Hakeem Olajuwon's Rockets, right?
Yep.
Then Shaq went over to the Lakers.
Okay.
And I followed suit. I followed him over there.
Okay.
And, you know, I had the birthright too.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, but yeah, I wasn't a Laker fan until Shaq.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of my origin there with the Lakers.
So we actually became Laker fans around the same time.
Sure.
Because, let's see. Did Shaq come? I don't remember.
They came in this at the same time.
Yeah, the same year.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because before that, I think you still Magic Johnson actually came back to the Lakers, you know, after he had said he had HIV, he retired. He came back and he did some Magic Johnson stuff but they just kept getting kicked out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even with Shaq, you know, with Nick Van Exel and they couldn't quite do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they turned that around.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's cool. Well, and then here comes Kobe.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's funny because that's something that also struck me. I'm going to be 33. Kobe was 41.
Yeah.
When you're 9 and somebody's coming into the NBA, even though he was 17, you know, when he was drafted, that still seems so much older, you know, but now you put it in perspective and, it's crazy. So, you know, here comes this. Do you remember when he came into the league? What do you remember about that time?
I just remember, you know, I don't think he got to play much initially, but he's kind of you could tell he's wanting to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could already sense.
Yeah.
He wants to be the best. He wants to take the shots.
Yeah.
He wants to be the star of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And you have Shaq, which it was a different basketball back then. Mm-hmm. They don't play the same basketball as they did in the 80s and the 90s and 70s. It's completely different.
Yep.
So Shaq, you could dump the ball into the center, mm-hmm. and they would back to the basket. Mm-hmm. The center,
yep.
and Shaq, you couldn't. He was an unmovable force.
Yeah.
So come on, Kobe.
Right.
You're gonna really take over this team with a guy like that in the center. You know, but that's kind of what I remember him just being a young arrogant, what you would expect out of an alpha that's 18 years old playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had this idea, I think is a good one, to talk about what are our top five most disappointing Kobe/Kobe Laker moments,
mm-hmm.
And what are our top five favorites?
Sure.
So you want to go through, you want to start
go
with?
Go ahead. Why don't you start?
Okay.
And, you know, then I'll comment on my least favorite moments and, you know, anything that are similar.
Okay.
You know, I might not go into much detail on, but anyway, so.
Okay.
Top five disappointing Kobe Laker moments for you.
Well, and should we go in reverse order or just...
Whatever order you feel is appropriate.
Okay. Well, I think... I mean, number one, the rape situation, the rape allegations. And, you know, some people are very, very strong that he did rape the young lady back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to people who are passionate about it on all sides of that.
Yep.
That was obviously a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a teenager when that was all going on. And I just remember at first feeling so disappointed, you know, that it was even an allegation, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, at that point, you know, that's 2003, so they had already won... they had already won the three championships. And so, you know, here is this person that has been raised to hero status now from your team. And that happens and you're going, please tell me this isn't true.
You know?
And then, you know, the process played out and it ended how it did. I am not one to say that he definitely raped her or that he definitely didn't. All I know, it was either way, it was a dark cloud.
Absolutely.
Over everything. And I didn't want to talk about this, though, because there have been, obviously, through this process, like many people, you read everything on social media and online, and, you know, you read through the comments, which... maybe isn't the best thing to do, but there have been a lot of people who have been passionate about reminding us about about that time. And, you know, I suppose for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think my issue is some of that sentiment has come from a place of almost criticizing, grieving over the loss of this person, his daughter, and those other families on the helicopter. It's almost like you shouldn't feel sad because of this,
right?
You know, and that's tough. You know that I can't help. And people who are devastated by this entire tragedy can't help but feel how they feel because of whatever impact Kobe's existence had on their life. And so you know what. I understand where you're coming from.
Sure.
But don't tell me not to grieve and be sad because of that, though. You know, I don't think is fair. And it rises to a level of moral superiority complex, you know, that's just, I mean, people were quick to type that out on the internet when literally the helicopter is still smoldering, you know, on the hill. And so... we can't talk about disappointing Kobe moments without that being
that
the first
has
thing.
To be on there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
second one I had was, just really the whole divorce. I'm calling it the divorce
with
Shaq.
Uh-huh.
That was such a disappointing season in the end in general. Mm-hmm. So it was, that was 2003, 2004 was the last season that Shaq and Kobe were together. And that was the year that Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, who, yes, funny, became my favorite Laker.
That's amazing.
When he came over,
yeah,
I hated him.
Of course.
When he was the mailman over, yes, in Utah.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate his dirty,
yes,
dirty playing guy. But then he came to the Lakers, and right, he became my favorite Laker on the team, yeah, during that season.
Yeah. What was anyway, it? What was it about him that you... Why was he your favorite?
He was a tough dude, man.
Yeah.
I think when in these playoffs,
yeah,
he had to go against the power forwards of the other teams. Mm-hmm. One of them was Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. And I forget which order.
Right.
But he had been or was the current MVP of the league that, yeah, year. Mm-hmm. And he had to go against Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Who was that year or the previous year the MVP.
Right.
And he smoked them both, man.
Yeah.
He had this little trick where he would pull the chair out.
Yeah.
So they would do their back to the basket thing that, right, was pretty popular way to play.
Uh-huh.
And he would just walk back and they'd stumble and travel and all that stuff. Anyway, so yeah. But anyway, please, yes, continue.
No,
with your,
that's, yeah, that's I'm glad you mentioned that though, because I think that's how a lot of people felt about, it's like, you know, I hate this guy. Oh, but now he's on our team.
Now
so,
I love him.
You know, so yeah, so there's a lot of hope, right? That season, it's like, okay, gosh, are we going to win this thing again? Look at this team that we have. You know, I remember, and they did the whole reloaded thing. Yeah, so Gary Payton, Karl Malone. Then Karl Malone gets injured.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember if it was the Western Finals or in the finals that he got injured and couldn't play.
Yeah, he was out the finals for sure.
Yep. And then the Pistons smoked the Lakers,
yep,
in five games.
Interesting enough, Horace Grant was part of that Shaq team,
yes,
in Orlando.
Right.
And we loved him from, you know,
yes,
the Bulls.
Yep.
He was on that Laker team.
Yep, he was.
And he was hurt.
Yep.
Guess what? Lakers didn't have a power forward,
yep,
at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had somebody playing, but it wasn't even the second string, yeah, guy. It wasn't the guy coming off the bench even. But
and at that point, so it's just Shaq really guarding the paint, right? And you have to remember, so I think, so they won in 99-2000, 2000-2001, 2001-2002, and then I think the Spurs won, mm-hmm, the next year, and then the Lakers go out and sign Gary Payton and Karl Malone, and so they, you know, Lakers reloaded is, yeah, the whole thing. But yeah, they just, the Pistons just, we couldn't keep up with them. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I say we, the Lakers couldn't keep up with them.
Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton. God.
Yeah.
Rip Hamilton would just run circles around the court. You couldn't keep up with the guy.
Yeah. It was so you have this build up to the finals. We didn't win last year. The Lakers didn't win last year. But here we are, you know, with a great chance to win the championship again. Karl Malone gets injured. Pistons are just smoking us. Get beat in five games. And then it was like the next day. I think Phil Jackson left, right?
Yeah, it was a bad time.
Yeah, and then Shaq is traded soon thereafter. I don't remember the exact order of,
yeah,
it. And,
yeah,
so we went from the Lakers are going to win the championship to this whole dynasty as we knew it was falling apart. And the worst part of it was the rumor was, or the, I guess the consensus was that it was stemming from Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that moment just caused a lot of consternation.
Yeah.
In our, I think we all understood there was tension between Kobe and Shaq.
Sure.
But that was the divorce, right? That was the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are separating moment, which,
right,
still hasn't happened. I hope it happens soon.
I think pretty much anybody that's not from Boston wants, right, that to happen.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure there were people who were very happy to see this whole thing end
sure,
in such an ugly way in 2004. But so that's enough. Did you have that on your list too?
It's actually the Pistons.
Okay.
Winning the championship.
Yeah.
It's associated with yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to add to that?
You know, no. that was just, I mean, it's still, I look back and I think I've told you this before, it still gets me.
Yeah.
Because I feel if the Lakers were healthy, I feel like they would have really had a chance to, but you know, the Pistons were a basketball team.
Yeah.
And you always hear that about sports. Mm-hmm. It's the team. Yep. So here we've got all these superstars.
Right.
Look at who we got, man. Right. There's no way you could beat us.
Yeah.
And the Pistons, they just, they played like a team and they smoked the Lakers.
Yeah,
so
they really did.
That's all I'd really add.
And to me, it came out of nowhere.
I had no idea.
Because they were running through the East and you're thinking, okay, well, that's cute. You know, that's the Eastern Conference. But yeah, okay. So we were pretty much had that on our list.
Yeah, we are two for two.
Okay, yes. the third one I had was, I think it was 2007. This was coming off the playoffs where against the Suns, where Kobe essentially, you could argue it's a really great moment because he pretty much, they got up 3-1 on the Suns that year. And then blew the series and lost in seven games.
Yeah.
And my memory's a little bit foggy, but I seem to remember the last game, the seventh game, Kobe took like 10 shots or something.
Hmm.
And it was almost like he was proving a point about how undermanned they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so not that summer, as that summer went on, I remember he went on Stephen A. Smith's radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so crazy, but he's like, I think I want to be traded.
Yes.
And I'm going, like, you're saying this on the radio, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't telling the execs behind closed doors.
Right.
He wasn't, hey, you guys need to figure out where this franchise is headed.
Yeah.
He went on first
to
a talk show.
Yeah.
And he's making this public that way.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just, you know, and at the time, I'm in my early 20s. And so as I reflect on it now, I realize what he was doing. It was a PR stunt, right?
Sure.
And so what happened after that? They got Pau Gasol and, you know, and then the rest is history with a turnaround. But that was a dark time because I'm going, really? You're going on a radio show talking about wanting to get traded? He had just been signed to this huge extension and everything. And so I had that on my list. Did you have the...
That's on my list too. I was so angry at Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, because even back then, I just... Initially, I couldn't believe they traded Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Shaq would stay and then Kobe would go. But they kept Kobe.
Right.
And then now he's talking about this and it makes you feel like, okay, maybe he is the cancer on that team.
Right.
Like you were alluding to earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he is the bad guy.
Right.
But now we reflect and it was just him kind of flexing muscles being like, "Hey, you guys better figure this out and get me some help."
Yep.
So, that's on my list too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other one I had was the 2008 finals against the Boston Celtics. That one.
Deep sigh.
Yeah, that one hurt because that was my first experience being... I mean, I think I was in diapers the last time the Lakers-Celtics thing was happening.
Yeah, but it's literally one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports. Any sport you pick, any era, this is one of the greatest of all time.
Yep.
Lakers-Celtics.
Yep. And so that was my first taste of that as it was happening live, right? Because you can't be a Laker fan regardless of, even if you were born, you know, 5 years ago. Or 10 years ago and you're starting to become a fan, you know about that rivalry, right?
Yeah.
And so so that series, it was so obvious the Lakers were going to lose from the beginning.
it was a bad deal.
You know, and then Paul Pierce has I think it was game two, Paul Pierce gets injured and is literally carried off.
Yeah, right.
And then he
comes back on.
And they come back and win. And it's just like, and the whole narrative of the Lakers are soft starts yep. to
you've got a guy in Pau Gasol that plays European basketball. Uh-huh. He's not tough at all. Yes. He's a noodle
right.
out there.
Exactly. And I just remember the game 6 and the Celtics just kicked their ass. Mm-hmm. And I think the one by like 36 points or something. And
yeah.
I just remember Kevin Garnett being just over the top, you know.
I still don't like the guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's going into the Hall of Fame. I believe.
Yeah.
But we mentioned this earlier. This was the first time we saw a big three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this was the precursor to all the other big threes that mm-hmm. now we've
right.
seen big twos and big threes or whatever. Right. But right. So I got to tell you a little story.
Okay.
About my Boston Celtic loss experience.
Oh gosh, so this is 2008.
Yeah, so
okay.
I had so much paraphernalia. I had bobbleheads, I had jerseys, I had banners, I had pennants, I had bumper stickers, I had the troll doll with the Laker jersey, I had all this stuff. And when that series ended, and I'm just, you know, maybe I'm a terrible fan, I took all of my collection throughout the years.
Oh, no.
I put it in the barbecue.
Oh my God.
Set it all on fire. I burnt every bit of Laker paraphernalia I had. After that Celtics series, that's how angry I was.
Oh my gosh! Why and, do you think you were? Did you think they had a chance going into it, or
I don't know? I just hated the Celtics so much. I just hated them so much that my anger just went just out of control. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a pretty emotional guy.
Yeah.
So and I can be recklessly emotional. Mm. And Athena was so pissed at me,
I bet.
And I don't think I didn't tell her and she didn't find, I think I was stupid and I left the evidence in the barbecue.
Oh gosh.
And, but anyway, so yeah,
that's intense, man.
Ooh, it was dumb. I had some cool stuff, man. I had my number 11, Karl Malone jersey.
Oh gosh.
Jeez. I had a Shaquille O'Neal Orlando Magic jersey in that pile of stuff. So it was really dumb.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame it on being in, however, in my early 30s or something. I just wasn't mature yet there. So anyway, carry on, good sir.
That's with your brutal. That's I'm going to put the top 5 disappointing moments for you.
And that is 1 through 3.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh. The last one I had, it's interesting because it's not really a moment. It's kind of a collection of how things unfolded later in his career. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling very conflicted when it came time to, this was after they had won
the
two championships, on his own, we'll mm-hmm, say, on Kobe's own, 2009-2010. And then had a couple down years. Dwight Howard came over.
Was supposed to be a stud.
Yeah.
Just fell flat.
And Steve Nash came over and then got injured.
Nash was 200 years old at the time.
Right.
Something like that.
I know. But then it came time to Kobe's contract was up. And, mm-hmm. You know, he still wanted to play and he wanted to play for the Lakers. And I didn't quite realize it at the time, but I'm counting this as a moment anyway. They extended his contract and paid him a lot of money.
Big bucks.
And it was like a legacy. It was like a thank you mm-hmm. for everything that you've done for us contract, which I think, in many ways that makes sense.
Sure.
And I, you know, Kobe is my favorite player of all time, but the next year and then the year after that, you started to realize how much that set the franchise back.
What does that do to your bench?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, I think a lot of things happened, right? Jerry Buss died.
Ugh.
And Colin Cowherd has this great take on that whole situation about how when you're not the one who had to build it from scratch,
yeah,
you just don't have the same amount of chutzpah, you know, yeah, to put behind. And you see that all the time with billionaires and mm-hmm. their kids just
or, you struggle. Know, hey, I have a pizzeria right. and I built this by right. hand
yes.
from scratch and I'm, yeah. this is going to be my children's legacy. And right. they're like, Dad, I don't want to do a stupid pizza right. restaurant.
Yes.
I want to do this.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in the salary cap, so that set the Lakers back from a salary cap perspective. And then I think this weird thing happened where all of a sudden free agents didn't want to come to LA.
Right.
They tried to pitch, you know, I remember LaMarcus Aldridge and people were shunning the Lakers
yeah.
and it was shocking. And I think it was a couple things, you know, first of all, they didn't have the cap space that they needed. Mm-hmm. And they also, I'm not sure people wanted to play with Kobe. One, because he was difficult. With two, because he was past his prime at that point. Let's be honest. You know,
you're probably not getting rings.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're not getting rings anymore with
right,
Kobe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I put it as one of my disappointing moments. I don't know what Kobe could have done differently about that, mm-hmm. but it's just the reality. That whole situation really set the franchise back for it's just now with LeBron coming over and then getting Anthony Davis. Really this year, it was basically almost a 9-10 year setback.
Yes.
And that, as a fan of the team, mm-hmm. Just from a basketball perspective, was disappointing. So that was my list. Was there anything that
I've got a couple of honorable mentions? Okay. I guess one of them was just in general the early Kobe, hot dog Kobe,
yeah,
running around,
yep.
doing these circus freak shots,
right.
that don't go in.
Yep,
mm-hmm. you know, there was many times where I was like, dude, you got to dish that to Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing taking these shots?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guess what? You're missing everything.
Right.
You're not hitting anything.
Hero ball.
You're mm-hmm. just being a knucklehead out there.
Yeah.
And then the other disappointing one was Kobe Bryant has won MVP.
Ah.
Like, I think he could have gotten at least two, should have gotten mm-hmm. at least two more.
Right.
I think he could have gotten as much as four more. So, you know, there's that comparison to Michael Jordan. And a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, he didn't have very many league MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been his attitude.
Yeah.
It might that the press didn't, you know, hey, we're going to give it to Steve Nash again.
Yeah.
Oh, your numbers were all better. So I think he could have gotten the MVP the 2 years that Steve Nash got it.
Right.
I think there was the year that Dirk Nowitzki got it,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And maybe there was a year Tim Duncan got it. Maybe you could have. I think that actually Tim Duncan's numbers were a little better. But
yeah.
So those were my kind of two additional items, you know, honorable mentions that I'd say in my disappointing Kobe
yeah.
topic.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about some of our favorite moments.
Good stuff?
Yeah, let's get some good stuff. Do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm gonna bet you that our stuff is almost similar. The same again.
Okay. That's
and
okay.
I'm pretty much going chalk.
Okay.
Here.
All okay. right.
So obviously we're going to start with the first championship.
Yep.
So that is huge. And yep. I had actually put the three-peat,
mm-hmm.
but I thought it starts with the first one.
Yep. It does.
And
yep.
then, oh man, we got a second one.
Yeah.
And then back to back to back.
Oh, so sweet.
That was that's one of my, you know, my first happiest moment. I'm kind of probably going chronologically on yeah. my list. So
okay.
I assume you had that on
I
yours.
I did. I had specifically the championship, but I actually had two different things from that year on my list.
Okay.
So what was it about the championship that just the fact that they won
just
in general?
Just the victory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had so if we talk about iconic Kobe moments,
mm-hmm.
In that vein of the first championship, I remember game 7 against Portland in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I put that as a specific moment on my list because They're down by 15 points heading into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to lose this game against me. Mm-hmm. And I hated Portland.
Oh man, me too.
And I've warmed to them a little because I live in Oregon now, you know, and I know a lot of, yeah. So I wish for them to do well. And I like Dame Lillard and all that stuff. But yeah. I back then, man, they had Rasheed Wallace. They had, you know, late career Scottie Pippen, who was just, you know,
Mighty Mouse was on the team.
Yes, yeah, Mighty Mouse.
Steve Smith was on the team.
Yeah, Steve Smith.
They had a ton of people.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Sabonis.
He was such an easy guy to make fun of.
If he was, if he was here early in his career, he's the best center.
Oh, I know.
But he's, you know, he's kind of blown out at that time, but still great.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So they were really good, you know, and then they come back. They start chipping away. They're coming back. They're coming back. And I think most people remember the lob to Shaq that they were up by four at that point. Kobe lobs it to Shaq, and Shaq, you know, dunks it in alley-oop. And the iconic image is of Shaq running down the court, right? Because the Blazers called a timeout after that.
Doing his little shoulder wag thing.
Yeah, that's when they knew, I think, that they had it in the bag. That's when everybody pretty much knew it. But I put this as a Kobe moment for this reason. This is now sending them to their first finals together, Shaq and Kobe. And it was almost, here's this guy who a couple years earlier, they got eliminated from the playoffs because he had two air balls in a row in a close game against San Antonio or Utah. I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was Utah. Yeah. And it's a pass. A pass from Kobe to Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you said, no, why pass it, you know?
Get that inside, man.
Yeah, and that's the moment. Kobe passing it to Shaq to clinch the Western Conference and make it to the finals.
Such a
great moment.
Tell you a little story about that game, too. So back in the day, my friend Mike, he's passed away, but he played drums in one of my first bands, The Shadows, that I played with around here, and a huge Blazer fan.
Okay.
I'm a huge Laker fan.
Yeah.
So I didn't make a lot of money back then, but we bet a whole weekend's worth of pay.
Oh my gosh.
On that series.
Yeah.
And that would have probably been like, I don't know, $150, $160.
Okay.
Which is huge to me at that point.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most money.
Oh, man.
So I'm watching this game 7, and they're down so much, and I'm at my friend Gary's house. And his favorite thing in the world is when I'm suffering for the Lakers. He thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm hammered drunk. I'm wicked drunk. So I go outside, and I used to smoke cigarettes, and it's the fourth quarter, and I'm sitting out there drinking more beer, smoking cigarettes, thinking like, man, I got to give $150 that I can't afford give to Mike because they're going to lose. And then Gary comes out at some point. He's like, you better get in here. And I think he's just going to be, you know, he's putting my face in it.
Right.
But he's like, no, get in here. And they're making this comeback. And I'm getting more and more excited and animated and vocal. And then they win the thing. And Johnny Trujillo calls me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cuss here.
Yeah, well, of course.
But I meant to say, he said, hey, they did it. And I meant to say, God damn it, John. But I was so drunk, I said, God damn it, John. And that's one of our the happiest memories. Him and when we go into our vault, God damn it, Don, is one of our most iconic memories together. So that was game 7.
That's amazing.
Of the Blazer-Laker series for me.
So great. And it's so much fun to troll Blazer fans about that. You know, when the anniversary comes up every year, and it's going to be 20 years this year.
Unbelievable. It
our
is.
Our buddy Josh, who's a huge Blazer fan.
Sure.
I love to send him the video of that, especially the lob there at the end. It's great. So I had that as a great Kobe moment because it was not just the pass and the play. It was it just it had a deeper meaning almost, mm-hmm. you know, if you really read into it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, great moment. What else did you have on your list?
So then I'm going to jump all the way forward to the next set of wins.
Okay,
yeah. And the reason it's so important is because forever, I still hear it, Kobe wouldn't have won without Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say, guess what?
Yeah.
Shaq wouldn't have won without Kobe.
Right.
I promise you that.
Right.
But anyhow, so Kobe, this is Kobe winning two rings without Shaq.
Yep.
And I have a specific so when Kobe, I think it might have been after they lost to the Celtics. When remember when Shaq sang that rap song and said, "Tell me how my ass tastes."
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that was about Kobe.
Right.
You know, so in the after the second ring, you know, Kobe very famously said, you know, "I got one more than Shaq." Because yes. A reporter asked him, you know, right. You won this as a franchise. How do you feel personally?
Yeah.
I have one more than Shaq.
Yep.
So I'm putting the two rings on his own and yeah. then that, you know, that very famous line that I love.
Yes, I love it. And that the second one of that back-to-back was so, so sweet because it was against the Celtics.
Yes, that was even better.
Yes, and game seven. And that game in and of itself was another, it reminded me of the Portland game.
Yeah, another game seven.
They were down, I think at one point by as many as 13 or even 15. They were down in that game. It was just super defensive. That's what's crazy too is you don't even see games that low scoring anymore. It was just such a weird game. But yeah, that I had those made the list too. The first one because it was like that was his first one without Shaq, and then the second one especially because and Kobe played terribly in game seven.
He did
of that 2010 against
absolutely
the Celtics.
Terrible.
But it was so sweet. And I remember I was with my uncle, Brian, who, you know,
yeah.
We were, and he was in between, they were moving. And so they were
he's
in
a Niner fan too.
He's
right?
a Niner yep. fan. Yep. yep. Okay. Yeah. So they were in a apartment temporarily waiting to move into their house. And I remember I was visiting and I went to his work and his employees were working on something like super important and he was the boss mm-hmm. and he was like, "Okay, well, we're going to go." And, and so then I think we went and got some dinner at a Mexican restaurant and we're watching it and they're losing and we're just kind of, yeah. Oh my gosh. And then we get back to his apartment and they've come back and it's, you know, back and forth. And then I just have this vivid memory of when they won or when it was obvious they were going to win, like we were watching the TV, but we were like put our hands around each other, like mm-hmm. a side hug. And, and we were jumping up and down in this apartment. And he was upstairs. So we were absolutely disturbing the people below sure. him. And that's something I will never forget. And so just a great moment.
I wasn't sure. even going to watch that game live.
Really?
And I can't remember if I had a DVR at the time. Mm. I must have because I wasn't going to watch it. I couldn't handle it. It was stressing me out. And then my friend, Andy Pimentel, shows up just out of the blue, unannounced. So are we watching the Laker game?
It shows
like,
up to your house.
Son of a bitch. I guess I got to watch this thing. And it could go either way, right? Game seven. Well, you never know. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Absolutely. Iconic. What else did you have?
This has got to be on your list.
Yeah. What is it?
81 points.
Yep.
Versus the Raptors.
Yep. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I did you watch that game? Did you see it at all?
I did see it live, actually.
Yeah. I don't think to this day that I've seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So I just saw, you know, on ESPN and everybody lost their mind for a week or whatever.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I watched, I think, from the second quarter on, I mm-hmm. watched it live. And then the next day, I remember I was in college and I did go to class, but that was somehow, I don't remember how this happened. I had the game on my laptop somehow.
Interesting.
I have no idea how that was possible in 2006.
Yeah,
even
right?
though that wasn't that long ago, this was before. And so I remember watching the whole game in between classes again. I watched it, the whole thing again.
Oh, nice.
And so that was just, that was one of those moments, one of those games where it doesn't even make sense how that happened.
Right.
I mean, he could not miss.
No.
It was ridiculous.
I think he shot something like 40 shots to make the 81.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So that's, I mean, that's second most all time.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll ever, I mean, maybe somebody will break it.
You had guys get to 60,
yeah.
61-ish or so, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even recently.
Yeah.
So they're knocking on the door, but mm-hmm. I don't know if you could get 81. Well, it is a three-point league now.
That's true. Yeah.
So maybe somebody could, but it's right. going to be hard to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. It's in the circumstances, you know, were such that, I mean, he was just so hot mm-hmm. that it was just a heat check all night long. He's
yeah.
just give him the ball. But you're right. It wasn't like he was, it wasn't like another moment that we'll probably talk about.
Yeah.
His last game ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, that's a crazy moment. Still kind of hard to believe that a guard in the modern NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 81 points in a game.
It's yeah.
just crazy. One of those moments.
Because again, if we go back to Wilt,
right,
completely different ball game.
Yep,
the center is yep. all that matters.
Yep,
of course he's running fools over.
Yeah. You know? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's back in a time where you know people like that, you know, just didn't exist physically.
Back in the day when I could come off the bench.
Right. Seriously. So yep. Iconic, good moment for Kobe. What else did you have?
Of course, we just yeah. alluded to yeah. 60 points in his last game. So yeah. this is one
oh,
that I watched live, and yeah. I had the DVR, and I'm watching this game, and I'm sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Because he's so bad.
Oh, it
he's
started missing, so terribly.
And he's
oh.
missing, and he's, and they're, you know, they're going to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, this is hot dog Kobe
mm-hmm.
that can't hit a shot.
Yep.
And then at some point, it starts to transition, and I'm yes. like, what?
Yeah.
And it just, I cried.
Yeah.
You know, and I've watched that game on DVR mm-hmm. later many times.
Yeah.
And I cried.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I had so much emotion in this game. You know, we're losing our guy,
mm-hmm.
number one, but he's going to go out. That's another record nobody's going to touch.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever shoot and get 60 points on their last game.
That's
nobody
crazy.
Will ever do that.
Mm-mm.
So that was a real,
yeah.
but it took a lot of shots to get
50 there. Shots.
50 shots to score 60.
Yeah. You know what was, that was a magical, magical night. And you're right. It started off so bad and you're thinking, how can this happen? And I know one last, I mean, all kinds of, you know, elder athletes, if you will, go out with a whimper because
they absolutely,
usually
they
hold on longer than they should have,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I remember thinking, oh my gosh, his career is going to end the way it started. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
air balls and just bad shots and not yeah. passing. And, but not only did he do that, not only did he score 60 points, but they came back and won the game.
Yes.
Against the Jazz, who needed to win that game to make it into the playoffs.
So it's not like they were taking the night off.
No, they had to win that game to get the eighth seed, and mm-hmm. the Lakers winning and Kobe scoring 60 points and leading that magical comeback
mm-hmm.
prevented them from making the playoffs.
Ouch.
And I just remember, there were so many celebrities. I mean, there's always celebrities at a mm-hmm. Laker game, but everybody was there.
Yeah.
Shaq was there. All of these famous people,
mm-hmm.
actors, musicians, and basketball players. And you could feel the energy coming out of the TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's a moment I'll never forget. I mean, that is akin to, I liken it to like, John Elway, you know, winning the Super Bowl and
going
then retiring,
right? Yeah, back to back Super Bowls.
It's it's like a baseball player.
It's like Derek Jeter's last game.
Right. Yeah.
He killed it his last game. It's very iconic last ways to go out.
It's like hitting a walk-off home run in your final at bat in your major league career. It was it was like that. And so I just remember feeling just really proud. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no other way you can go out, and he left it all on the court. And then he spoke to the crowd afterwards, and he said, Mamba out. Drop the mic.
Mamba so, out.
It was just perfect. Yeah. So, yep.
So my last one that I have on here is the Academy Award.
Mm.
So I remember we were watching the Academy Awards, and he ends up winning the thing. And again, I'm sitting there watching, and I just start crying.
Yeah.
And Athena was like, oh, I didn't realize that would mean so much to you. But here's, you know, you can argue whether or not he was the greatest all time. I think I think you run into Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have him in the top five greatest of all time. Some people have him in the top 10.
Yeah.
For me, he's easily second.
Yeah.
If I squint my eyes, I could probably make him the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
So what else, what are you going to do with your life after you've done this? Yeah. Where do you go? I know. I go win an Academy Award, is what Kobe Bryant did.
Yeah.
And I just was, you know, emotionally overwhelmed that, damn. And you know, he wrote this. Have you seen that?
I have. And I tried to watch it again this week, and I couldn't get through it.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's him writing this. And that's him not settling for anything but perfection, the way he did.
Yep.
The way that made people, hard for people to come maybe play with him, that that maybe drove Shaq away, that maybe drove Phil away. But just uncompromising in his expectation.
Yeah.
And he wins an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Crazy. I know. And I think this is important because this speaks to why this is not only incredibly devastating, but I think to the degree that it is. And that is because I feel like you could almost make the argument that Kobe's second chapter in life
better.
Was going to be better. Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And here's why. You saw him with his kids, you know, and just what a involved, I mean, he was flying to coach his daughter's team in a facility that he's responsible for being erected in a whole league that's essentially named after him.
Yeah.
And he's flying to coach his daughter's AAU team,
right?
You know,
and guess what? He's running the triangle.
Yeah,
in his daughter's AAU. Yes,
I know. I mean, it's like a level that is just—it's just crazy, right? He's taking that Mamba mentality into being a father, and it's just crushing, you know, to think that we're not going to see how that, you know, would have turned out. We're not going to get to see his Hall of Fame acceptance speech.
That's heartbreaking.
We're not, I mean, I always just expected, I took comfort in the fact that even though he was retired from my favorite team and my favorite player ever, I took comfort in knowing that he was always going to be a part of my life in some way with all these other things that he did and building this media company and you know, being just being in the limelight for what a good dad he was and how generous he was and his various business interests. And he was always in the news doing something, you know? And you know, I think it's poignant that you have his Academy Award as one of your top favorite moments, because that encapsulates a good portion of the grief, I think, that we feel, because it wasn't like a player who just retired and then we never heard from. Mm-hmm. We expected that we would hear from him for a long, long time. That's just crushing.
Did you have any other things that weren't on my list?
The only thing I had was, and this I think is a relatively small moment amongst some of these other ones, but when he tore his Achilles,
and he made those free throws,
and then he limps out to the bench, and then they realize he has to shoot the free throws, or they would have had to. I can't remember the rule exactly, but so he limps down to the other side of the court and makes the two free throws.
Yeah.
On a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
That was just.
Here you have Paul Pierce.
Right.
In the first finals, getting carried out. You know, and here's Kobe at the end with a torn Achilles making his free throws.
I know.
Tough.
Yeah. Just that mentality, you know.
Yeah, again, and so, he's mentally overcoming something that's excruciating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things that, you know, anybody who, you know, I'll tell Nora about that.
Yeah.
You know? About that moment. That'll be on the list of things to share. Mm-hmm. So kind of pales in comparison to, I think, some of these other ones.
Well, it speaks to his Mamba mentality. That's literally that's a definition of Mamba mentality.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So those are our top most disappointing and our top favorite Kobe Laker moments.
Yeah.
How has this terrible tragedy changed in any way, if in any way, how you feel about LeBron James now? Because you were already starting to warm up to him a little bit, right?
So LeBron James, since I liked him when he first came into the league, and I saw, here's this young kid coming out of high school the way Kobe did. Mm-hmm. He had a few that came out of high school like that. But and he's got to take this entire franchise on his shoulders. He didn't have a Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
So I dug him, and I liked his Sprite commercials. And
yeah.
But, you know, and then he gets to the finals really quick early in his career. But then when he moved to Miami and there was all this, you know, pomp and circumstance and this keeping it a secret, and I'm taking my talents, and we're not winning one, we're not winning two, we're not winning three. And guess what? You didn't win anything, and you're going with these other guys, Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it.
Right.
And then every time he failed, I was happy. I'm like, you're never going to get the rings like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to surpass him. He's always going to be better than you. And so every time he failed, I ate it up. And then, you know, he left the court and didn't shake hands and all these things. He's a bad sport. He's a crybaby. Mm-hmm. And then he comes to the Lakers. And the only other time I've been more angry about getting somebody is when Vlade Divac came back from the Kings.
Right. Right.
Because that was a great rivalry for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally screamed out loud when Vlade came back. I saw it, and I literally screamed out loud. But I was just as angry as when LeBron came over. Mm. And then they're doing good. So you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, I didn't like it. But now he's on my team, and they're doing pretty good. And then he gets hurt, and then they stink again.
Right.
But the start of this season, you know, now the Lakers are doing good again. But here's the thing about LeBron James. I have come to respect him because I wasn't allowing myself to see the other side of him. Mm. He's another family-oriented guy.
Yep.
He's all about his kids. He's got great charities.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending kids to school.
Right.
He's never cheated on his wife. He's never been involved in drugs. He's never been in a hotel, doing anything fishy. He's really a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I never allowed myself to see that.
Right.
But that, fortunately for me, I've started to see that, and I like LeBron.
Yeah.
What's your take on him?
I feel like I've gone through the same process as you. You know, I liked him at first. I mean, I was playing basketball in high school when LeBron was playing basketball in high school.
Okay.
So I will always have that connection, you know.
Sure.
We're not that far apart in age, and I remember playing high school basketball and then watching him on ESPN and thinking, that's so crazy. You know, this guy's like a year or two older than me, you know.
And he's got a Humvee or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so same kind of thing. You know, I mean, I put myself in his shoes. When you're that good and that famous and you're 20, whatever,
yeah,
you're going to make stupid mistakes, you know? And the whole decision thing, you know, he did it at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Which I think he was trying to make it a like a charitable type thing.
He was holding us hostage the whole time.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And obviously in retrospect, that was awful. Yeah. But so I think as I've gotten older, I've gone through a similar process as probably him. Like, man, I have done some stupid shit, you know, and said some things and done some things that were just really selfish or stupid. So I can kind of, I can't relate to being like an uber famous mega athlete, but I can relate to the process of maturing as a person. And so it's still, even to this day though, it's just, and I don't know that it'll ever be like it felt with, especially Kobe, because he was drafted and stayed with the franchise for
20 years.
But even Shaq felt like a true Laker, and I just have never felt like LeBron was a true Laker.
Yeah.
Even to this day.
It's kind of like he came to LA because he had other business to do.
Right. It was convenient.
Play, I've got, you know, we have the family here and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of get that vibe too.
However, I think my thought process is going to change after this whole thing now. You know, I think I'm already, even though they haven't, all we've seen is just that video of him getting off the plane. And
it's heart wrenching.
Yeah. Just, I mean, in the timing of it, the next day after he passes Kobe on the all time scoring list, and Kobe's last tweet was congratulating him.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's handling it, you know? And so I think in a weird, twisted way, this unspeakable tragedy has now become the thing that in my eyes is going to elevate LeBron as a true Laker, because he's kind of, he's, you know, he's going to take this on himself of doing something purposeful to lift up Kobe's legacy. It's interesting how that happens, but
I think we started to see the relationship between Kobe and LeBron become brothers. This is them getting closer, you know, and you know, just even LeBron's in the locker room afterwards, and a lot of people are saying this is practically eulogizing Kobe, the way he spoke about him, and then the very next day.
I know.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Lakers needing to win the championship this year?
Yeah. You know, I've thought about this a lot too. In some ways, I think it's like, you know, the basketball fan in me goes, well, now they have to, right? Now they have to. They just have to win it all. They have to win it all for Kobe. LeBron's got to do whatever he can. He's got to, even if he tears his Achilles, he still has to play, you know, and just put the team on his back and make it happen, win it all. And yet, at the same time, this unbelievable tragedy puts into perspective what's really important in life. And honestly, winning championships are amazing, but there's so much more to life. And I've seen so many people, you know, you saw Shaq talk about how this happened, and then he started calling people that he had beefs with to make up, you know, to not let there be. And we're so bad at that, you know? It takes these terrible things to happen to remind us mm-hmm. to not let stupid shit get in the way of our relationships with the people that we love. Because
sometimes you might not even remember what you were angry about in the first place.
Yeah, just it doesn't matter. And so it's interesting because it's, yeah, absolutely. They have to win it all, and it would be just the most cathartic, incredible thing in the whole world. But I'm balancing that with, it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's a game, you know?
Well, part of my opinion is it's tempered by the fact that they should already have a very good chance of right. making it to the finals.
Right.
They should already have a great chance of mm-hmm. winning.
Yeah.
If they're not the very best record in the league at any given moment, mm. they're absolutely the best record in the Western Conference.
Right.
So we're not talking about a team that doesn't already have expectations.
Right.
But then when you add this situation with Kobe, the way I think of it is, do they have to win? No. Mm-hmm. Do they need to win? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. it's, I'm going to differentiate have to
right.
with they need to.
Yeah.
Because yeah. it would be the most fairy tale ending.
Yeah.
Of, I can't think of any other moment I can think of in sports mm-hmm. that would be a more fairy tale perfect ending is yeah. if the Lakers win this thing.
Yeah.
This year.
I mean, I think it would definitely bring Laker fans, but just fans of sports and life, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it would be one of those magical things. At the same time, I can see them having a terrible second half of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how you get past this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so incredibly devastating.
It's at ground zero
yeah.
of this team.
It is.
You look across and there's football stars and there's tennis players and there's soccer players and everybody's devastated, but and all the teams in the NBA, but this is ground zero
mm-hmm.
pain.
Yeah.
So how do they overcome that?
Right.
That would be very tough.
I hope they can. I just can't imagine the pressure, mm-hmm. you know, that they must be feeling. They're probably feeling an immense amount of pressure to, you know, a responsibility to lift up, you know, the millions of people who are just so sad and at least go out and, you know, and win some basketball games. Personally, and maybe, you know, that probably explains why I'm not a professional athlete. I can also see this really affecting the team and,
yeah.
and preventing them from winning, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they press too hard, you know. I can see that happen. So I've thought about this a lot, and you know, whatever the outcome, I'm at peace with it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just that's how I feel today.
Mm-hmm.
Them not having played a game since this happened.
Right.
But I might if they start, you know, winning, and then once we get to the playoffs, I'll probably really want it bad.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, while everything's still so fresh, I'm just like, man, I'm just thinking about how to be a better dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Pulled the curtain back and exposed yes. what's really important.
Yep. It's another one of those reminders. And I've already started thinking about what are some changes I can make in my life
yeah.
to be a better person. To be a better dad, to be a better husband, to be a better boss, and to not let these tragedies be the only thing that reminds us of how short life is, mm-hmm. you know? What can I do to adopt more of the Mamba mentality, you
yeah.
know? To take care of my body better, you know? Mm-hmm. All those things. And so I think if there's no good that comes of this. But I think what Kobe would want for anyone who is grieving about this incredibly terrible situation, is to think about those things, mm-hmm. right? To learn from as dark as some of the things that happened that, you know, that he created in his life,
mm-hmm.
To think about, how we can channel the good that he had too into to better ourselves and those around us. So, yeah, it's just, I'm in that mode where it's just like basketball just doesn't seem important right now.
Right.
You know? So I don't know.
I got a couple things I wrote down that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
Just a couple of real quick things. Yeah. So there is a movement to have Kobe as the logo. Mm,
yeah.
What is your take on that?
You know, I think that would be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, kind of like you and I sitting down to record this podcast, I think that's a way that people are channeling their grief.
Sure.
And so I don't know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe someday it will.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just such a tough one. You know, mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
I the current logo.
Right.
Is the guy that brought him to the Lakers.
Yes. Jerry West.
Jerry West is one of the great Lakers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch, and some of these interviews are heart wrenching.
Oh my gosh.
Did you watch Inside the NBA?
Yes.
That just devastated me emotionally. But if you look on even that, the most emotional guy is Jerry West.
I know.
Because that was a father son thing that was happening. Mm-hmm. So I am fine with Jerry West continuing to be the logo.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I could flip.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea out there that's like Mark Cuban from the Mavericks is retiring 24. Nobody else in Dallas will ever wear 24.
Yep.
Classy. I've always loved Mark Cuban. But there's talk about maybe you do that in the whole league.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You are seeing players that are wearing number 8 and so forth saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a different number.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear this. So maybe that's a way that you memorialize Kobe.
Yeah.
But I'm on the side of, you know, keep the logo.
Yeah.
The way it is.
And I don't think you can talk about this whole logo thing. I hate that my mind goes there. Maybe it's the business person in me, but I don't think the NBA could do it because this is a man who was accused of rape.
Mm.
And I know there's people who are very passionate and I'm one of them. Those are the rights that were afforded under our Constitution, right? That you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But just the amount, I think the backlash that would bring from I think I don't know that they would be willing to defend that position.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so from a PR business perspective, I don't think it's going to happen. I love the people who are, you know, the person who started this. I think there have been a lot of people who started the petition, you know. And I appreciate, I know where their heart's at. But I don't see it happening. And I think there are, to your point, other great ways that you can honor him.
Sure.
I think retiring the number, the 24, is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And is not, wouldn't create, if I'm Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, wouldn't create, you know, bring this hellfire upon myself, you know, which would probably happen because fair or not, that's the way people are nowadays, you know, and that's the way our world works. And so anyway, but yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Another thing, do you think Kobe would have coached in the NBA or WNBA?
Yeah. Well, he always said no way.
Right.
He always said no way in hell. The only thing I think would have changed that is if his daughter made it and he could coach his daughter.
And it sounded like she had skills.
Oh, man.
So maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't think he would have. I think he would have pursued other ventures.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that was always so good and had so much skill.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be barking at these people.
Right.
And they just physically can't do it. They're not talented enough.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because he was hard on his teammates.
He was.
Very hard. I don't think that would work as a coach.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. And he always said he didn't want to do it, you know? So, Hi, babe. How are you? Speaking of, Nora walked in with her helmet on.
Is that a Lion King?
It's Paw Patrol.
Okay. See, I'm way out of the loop.
Yep. Paw Patrol. He's got her Paw Patrol helmet for a scooter.
So why do you think I've done a lot of examination on on this next topic I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
Why do you think this hit you so hard? Do you have a way to express that?
Yeah. You know, I think some of it I've talked about. I think I think there's something about someone who's been in your life when you were a kid and was a part of your life and your favorite team until, you know, your late 20s, which is what the situation was for me with Kobe. Honestly, and you know, like my mom said, you attach your association with this famous person, famous athlete, with various good memories in your life. I think ultimately, for me, there's no question that being a father of a three-year-old little girl is why it's hit me as hard as it really has, because the fact that his daughter was with him, and your mind goes to these really dark places of how much did they know before before the helicopter hit the hillside, right? I think about what I would have done in that situation, and so, you know, and again, I don't think you have to be a father to have those feelings or thoughts, but but for me, there's no question that's where my mind goes. I just, I think about what those final moments were like. And I just hope not only did they not suffer, but I hope that they, I hope they didn't have a long time to realize
that
what
it was
going
just
on.
Something that happened and they didn't even realize.
Right. Yeah. Because I think about what would I do in that situation? My daughter sitting next to me, you know, and that's what I mean by it. Just so much bigger than basketball and sports, and it's really that's when my devastation was taken to a whole other level that I didn't even think possible.
Yeah,
for someone that I never even met, you know. So, and then as a business person, and this is way secondary, but as a business person and someone who has, you know, aspirations, I looked up to him and how driven and motivated he was in the life after basketball and all the things that he was involved in. And it's just, as I mentioned before, it's devastating to think we're not going to be able to see any of that. What, you know, I think it'll manifest itself in different ways as various people carry on a certain elements of his legacy, but you're never going to replace the man, you know.
You're right.
So much of what he did was because of him and and the influence he had on others, and it's just so sad. I just pictured him becoming, really, I pictured us 8 years apart. It's kind of funny because you're almost 8 years apart on the other side of it, you know? So we're equally, you know, close in age to him on either side. And, and I thought we would grow old, you know, together, seeing Kobe all the time on whatever he was involved in.
Yeah.
And so that part is just, it's everything. It's the basketball part of the life. It's being a dad and thinking about, you know, just how he put the mama mentality that he approached in basketball into his family and fatherhood after he retired. And that's just, it's just incredibly devastating. And I think to put a bow on it, it reminds us of our own mortality and how quickly things can change. And so the question is, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? Are you waking up every day and really tackling it the way that you should? Because you just never know, man, when
you
it's
really
your time,
don't.
You just never know. And I think if I can, encapsulated in one sentence, that's what it is too.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about for you?
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out, this is a guy that played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So we've lost some important people celebrity wise. We've lost Robin Williams, was really heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
David Bowie.
Yeah.
Prince.
Right.
My favorite songwriter of all time after the Beatles is Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
We lost him.
Yeah.
I'm a musician.
Right.
Those should have knocked me into the dirt.
Right.
Yet I feel worse about this man.
Yeah.
And I played sports in middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time I never played basketball.
Right.
I couldn't figure out why this man affected me. Sunday I was sad for 10 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I called in that night. I got a hold of my regional guy and I said, I'm going to take a personal day tomorrow. Mm. I didn't say why.
Yeah.
And then the next day I felt guilty because why am I, are you serious? I'm taking a day off work because I was exhausted from being sad the whole day before for every second of 10 hours. But I think for me, for 20 years, Kobe Bryant's, the emotional investment I had were my lowest of lows when they would lose, when I burnt up all my stuff, when, you know, whatever.
Right.
It also my highest of highs.
Yeah.
So with him for 20 years consistently, my emotions were stretched to both complete opposite ends.
Mm-hmm.
And music, I love David Bowie, I love Prince, and I would listen to the music, but and I just, you know, you get that spiritual thing, but they didn't stretch the whole gamut of emotions I have.
Yeah.
They didn't pull me that to those extremes.
Right.
And I think it's my investment emotionally in him allows me to have the lowest of my experiences with him.
Yeah.
You know, in his death. So I that's what I'm thinking it is for me right now.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, I think if there's anything, it's okay to feel however you feel.
Yeah.
You know? Don't let, and I'm speaking to you, but I'm speaking to anybody out there who's listening to this. Don't let someone make you feel bad about being sad about any tragedy or anything. You know, don't let anyone dictate your emotions, period.
They're your emotions.
Yes.
That's why they're valid.
Right. Exactly. But I'm with you, man. I've toiled with this every day, you know. And I think there's people I've told, classmates, coworkers, that are that kind of look at me funny, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't care, you know. I'm just we're going through a mourning process, a grieving process, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Before we got cracked the mics, we were talking about, you know, this is not one you're just going to get over easily.
Right.
You know, and maybe we never will.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for certain people. I was waiting for LeBron to say something, but you know, his wife has made a statement and,
Vanessa.
Yeah. And there's, MambaOn3.org.
Yes.
So you can go and you can, that money's going to the families that were killed. So I think it's, you know, that's a sports thing where you pick a word. It's something on three.
Yeah.
You know, but MambaOn3, and it's all spelled out MambaOnThree. MambaOn3.org. So if anybody's listening, you know, please, that would be a very kind and appropriate gesture.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. Anything else?
Thanks for working through this with me, man.
Oh, man. No, I'm glad you suggested it, even though this is traditionally a music podcast. Now you know how big of fans we are how much this has hurt us. And anybody out there who's feeling the same way, we're with you. And just remember that I think Kobe would want us to learn something from this and take it and apply it to our lives in some way, however small, or maybe it's bigger, and go forward and not let this prevent us from, you know, from having our own Mamba type mentality, right?
Yeah.
And we wish all the families that have been torn apart from this terrible tragedy all the strength that they can muster and courage and comfort. We hope that Kobe and his daughter and the other seven souls on board rest in peace. And this is going to be a tough one for a long time. And yeah, that's okay.
It's okay.
Thanks for coming over, Chris.
Thank you.